Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. Today we are going to continue taking a look at the return of the prodigals. God longs to see the prodigals come home, just like the father in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. God is looking on the horizon for the return of the prodigals. Do you have a prodigal in your life? Perhaps a son or a daughter who's run off out of father's house to explore the temptation, the allure, the deceitfulness of the sin that Satan has displayed as if it were a banquet table. And that prodigal has indulged in perhaps even great depths of sin, and your heart is broken today. God wants to encourage you that there's hope for your prodigal. God desires to bring the prodigals home, restore them to Father's house, and make them whole again. In the Message translation of Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, reads this way. There was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, "Father, I want right now what's coming to me." So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, "All those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand.'" He got right up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out and embraced him and kissed him. The son started his speech. "Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again." But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, "Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get that grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found." And they began to have a wonderful time. This story, known to Christians and non-Christians alike, of the prodigal son, the one who left the values and the upbringing of his family to spurn those values, to turn his back on the goodness and the love that was presented to him in his home, and to go off to that distant country, which represents distance from God, being far from the Lord, pursuing things that are ungodly, is a picture today of many, many people in the world. There are many people who were raised in church, who sat in church pews listening to the Word of God preached on Sunday, raised to pray before their meals and pray at night and to look to God for answers and for help, and yet for a multitude of reasons made the decision to turn their back on that upbringing and pursue a worldly lifestyle. The good news for the prodigal, as well as to the parent of a prodigal, is that God longs to restore the prodigal. Many parents today who have children who have gone out into the world of drug abuse, alcoholism, bondages of many different kinds, including pornography, and even criminal activity and behavior have found their hearts broken, as this father in the story of the lost son surely was. You can see his desire for his son pictured when we read that the father saw him while the son was still a long way off. He obviously daily searched the horizon with the hope that the son would return to his father's house. This is a picture of God's heart for your prodigal. God is looking and longing, desiring to bring that prodigal home and to see him restored. You don't have to beg God for your prodigal to be brought home. God's longing for the prodigal's return more than you are, because his love for your prodigal son or daughter, prodigal husband or prodigal wife, or perhaps even you have prodigal parents, is greater than the love you even have for that lost one. God longs to see that one come home. Part of the promise that we find in the story of the prodigal son is that when that prodigal does come home, that the father completely and thoroughly restores him to the family. One of Satan's greatest lies that is perpetrated against people who do go out into the world or fall into the depths of sin is that they can never come back to God. You may be there yourself right now. You may have known the love of God. You may have walked with God. You may have known his voice. You may have loved his word at one time in your life. And now you're far from God. You're in that distant, far country, and you don't feel like you can come home again because Satan bombards you with the lie that you knew better, and so God's not going to take you back because you willingly walked away. This son in the story of the prodigal son willingly, defiantly, and very intentionally turned his back and walked out of father's house. God is always willing to take the prodigal back. And when this father took that prodigal son back into the family, he did not berate him. He did not verbally humiliate or shame him, as many people might do in a similar situation. Imagine the story if it went this way. Here comes the son that has brought total shame to the family name. Here comes the son over the horizon with all the telltale signs of the depravity and the depth of sin that he has immersed himself in. His clothes are tattered and torn. He smells because he's been living under a bridge. And not only that, he's wasted half of the family fortune. There are many people who would see their son come home like that and take that opportunity to humiliate and shame him with their words. So, big shot, hope you've learned your lesson. You want to be a member of the family, do you? Well, you're just going to have to earn your way back. But that's not how the father in this story in Luke 15 treated the return of his prodigal son. He didn't throw his sin up to that son. He listened to his confession of humility, of repentance, accepted it, extended that forgiveness. And you see that he did so by his response when the son began to say, "Father, I've sinned against God and I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son." The father took three steps that represent his complete and total willingness to bring restoration to that son. The first thing that he did was he brought out the best robe and wrapped it around him. That is a picture of God removing the stain of the sin that that person has plunged into. We know in Isaiah 1 that God says, "Though your sin be as scarlet, it shall be white as snow. Though it be like crimson, it shall be like wool." And this is a picture of God acknowledging the sin. Yes, it's horrible. It's a stain on your very life because it's not what God had for you. And it's against the heart of God and the holiness of God. God acknowledges it, but God says, I'm willing to forgive. And not only to forgive, I'm willing to completely wipe it clean. This is the promise of God's forgiveness. The robe represents God's willingness to completely cover whatever depth of sin a prodigal has gotten himself into. The second restorative action that the father took was that he put a ring on his finger. This was a picture of a free man. It also represented the restoration of that son's authority and position and place in the household and in the family. God will restore your prodigal. Don't give up hope. He won't have to limp along in life. God can fully and completely cleanse and restore him when that prodigal turns to the Lord. The third picture of restoration is that the father had the servants put sandals on his feet. In that day, a slave did not wear anything on his feet. Only a free man wore sandals or shoes. When the prodigal went off into the far country, he ended up feeding pigs. The implication here was that he became a slave because that was the lowest of low in terms of work. And the fact that it said he wanted to eat the husks that the pigs ate, but nobody would give him anything, also intimates that he was a slave, forbidden to touch even the food of the pigs under fear of being beaten. Putting the sandals on the son's feet is a statement that God will deliver your prodigal from slavery. Take up hope today. God has restoration for your prodigal.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com, or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.